Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. A lot of times, Tim, on this podcast, we get to talk about the positives of this generation, and then sometimes, like today, we talk about the challenges, both that they're facing and that we're facing because they're facing those challenges.
Yeah, well, and a lot of times when we point out a challenge, we're the source of it. We, the parents, the teachers, the coaches, even the employers sometimes, we enable them when we shouldn't be enabling them. So that's our topic of the day.
The recipe, I think, for a lot of young people who are having success in life, they look back on moments like you and I have looked back on moments in our life, and we remember adults who held us accountable, who made us live up to the expectations that were on us, those kinds of things. And I know as we were getting ready for talking about this subject where adults oftentimes are not holding kids accountable, we were both remembering times when our parents did do that.
So talk about your story.
You want me to share mine? Well, I remember years ago, I had one of those kind of bonehead kids moments where I'm outside in my driveway and a car is driving by and I just get this inclination of like, I wonder what would happen if I threw a rock at that car, you know?
It's a good question.
Most, you know, probably 5 and 6 year olds have thought that thought as I did. So I choose to throw some rocks at that car and you might imagine what happened. The car stops and I immediately regret my decision. And I remember running inside and I'll never forget running right inside, right past my mom. I believe it was just she that was home at the time, and ran right into her room, you know, looking for some hiding insecurity and all those kinds of things. And I looked out the window as the man who was driving the car was coming up to the house. And I will never forget that my mom didn't just talk to that man, but that she actually came into her room, got me, and made me come outside and apologize.
And face the music.
Luckily, there was no damage done to the car, but I will never forget my mom not letting me hide that one out in her room, but making me take responsibility. You had something similar that happened to you.
I did. I'll never forget. I think I was in the second grade. I was probably 7 years old. I was in a convenience store, and my mom and my sister were with me, or I was with them, actually. But I just thought, I want this candy bar, and I will take it. So mom was there. She probably would have gotten it for me, but I thought, I'm going to see if I can do this, you know? So I stick the candy bar in my pocket. Well, when my mom realizes we get out in the parking lot that I have a candy bar that we did not pay for, I was hoping to God she'd go, well, you know, that's not right. But anyway, whatever. Next time, don't do that. Nope. I think she might've grabbed me by the ear and we walk right back in that store. And again, it wasn't so much that I lost the 25 cents that I had her to pay, but I had to talk to this clerk and apologize for what I'd done. Mm. And again, that's not even the lesson here. It's just the idea of somehow cultivating in the emerging generation a sense of there are consequences to really poor decisions and there's benefits to really good decisions. And somehow we see some trends right now that are not so positive.
Well, this is what I'm thinking right now is like there's probably lots of people listening to this going, of course parents hold their kids accountable for things, right?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that we might shock a few people to let them know just exactly what's happening because you have noticed a trend, as have many folks these days, of this not happening. And maybe it's not as simple as, you know, a mom not holding a kid accountable for stealing a piece of candy.
Yeah.
I think it's sometimes it's bigger things. Yeah. And what's happening is it's a growing trend that's allowing students, especially students in middle and high school, to feel like they're not responsible for their own choices. So talk about where that came from.
So here's my thought. Here's my hypothesis behind the trend that we're seeing. I think kids in Generation Z are very savvy. They've grown up with a smartphone, so they're very, very much exposed to information, adult information for that matter, very early ages. So they get savvy as to what's really going on. They get intuitive, and they realize the adults in my life have more at stake than I do. They want me to win more than I want to win.
Yeah.
So I just talked to a couple of high school faculty members, great people, and they said, we're seeing kids in our class, two in particular, that were playing the school system.
Oh, interesting.
And by playing the school system, what I mean is the kids will purposely do poorly or more poorly at the beginning of the semester and gradually get better because really all the adults want is improvement. In fact, when I ended up talking to some of the students, I thought, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
The students were very open with me. They're almost proud of their savviness.
Yeah.
You know, and they basically said this, My parents just want to see improvement, and so I improve over the course of the school year. My grades go from C to B to A or whatever.
Yeah.
When I could have gotten an A the entire time, maybe. And the teachers really want me to be successful, probably more than I do. They didn't say probably more, but I got the impression, I think they want this more than I do. Funding is going to come to the school when we do well. So once a kid realizes you have more at stake than I do, I might play the system and not be really feeling like there's consequences because you'll make sure I succeed.
That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. It's sort of like a kid is looking for a cheat code.
Yeah.
Like I think of cheat codes we used to have on video games growing up. They're almost looking for a cheat code to get their way through school.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If the goal is the adult looks at me and says, good job, thumbs up. And I know if I start by getting 100, they're going to expect even more
from me
the next time.
That's right.
I'm going to start a little bit lower and game the system, which is quite fascinating. I'm not surprised after so many conversations with Generation Z and how savvy they are to find that there are kids out there who have figured this out. Well, what's fascinating is that situation you were talking about, of a kid being in a situation like this, feeling like the adult it really bears more responsibility than they do, leads to a consequence that started to get a term attached to it. So talk to us about that term.
Yeah, it's a term we've been talking about here in our office quite a bit recently. So it's an economics term called moral hazard.
Hmm.
And a moral hazard really isn't about morality as much, although it could be, but it's more or less this. A moral hazard is the lack of incentive to guard against risk when one is protected from its consequences.
Okay.
So let me say that again.
Yeah.
It's the lack of incentive to guard against risk that might be really reckless when the consequences of taking that risk is removed from me. So I'm way more careless and reckless if I feel like there's no cost to me.
Yeah.
So here's some good examples.
Yeah, give us one.
I mentioned an economist came up with this term. So it might be and a financial investor that goes, I'm going to be reckless investing money because I'm insured.
Yeah.
Even if I make a bad choice, I got insurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've insured everything these days. So it's a subtle, even sinister reality that makes us less careful.
Yes. So I'm not going to be as thoughtful or as wise in my decision making because I know a mistake is actually not that catastrophic.
Yes. Or it might be an employee who works at a corporation and they have a company car. Now, they drive that car, and it's kind of like their own, but they know if I get a ding or a dent in it, it's the company car. It's not mine. It's like you and me. We need to be careful driving rental cars.
That's true.
Because, you know, this isn't my car, whatever.
Yeah.
But if it was our car, oh, my gosh, OMG.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a very subtle thing, but whenever the stake lies with someone else, we are very, very vulnerable to moral hazards because we're just not quite as careful as we would have been.
Mm. And we can see already probably the consequences that this would look like for students, right? They're not driving rental cars, but their education, they treat it almost like a rental car, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm renting my education rather than owning my
education.
That's
exactly right. And I know we've talked about that before, but in this case, that plays out spectacularly to the tune of this moral hazard thing where kids feel like, well, my mom seems to care a whole lot about my school, and so does my teacher, and so does my principal. So I'm going to let them bear the responsibility of the decisions I need to make rather than me bearing that responsibility.
Well, you just said that very well. The bottom line is the risk of poor decisions is borne by others.
Mm.
And life, this just doesn't crank out a very good, healthy, responsible young adult.
Yeah.
And that's what we all want as parents, educators, et cetera. Of course we want great adults, but we're doing things to actually sabotage that by making life a bit easier in the name of, well, we want it easier.
This is one of those unintended consequences in life that we have to be aware of.
It is.
Well, you had one more example you wanted to talk about in moral hazards. That's a really good one. So
probably the biggest, most obvious illustration in our culture today, because we live in a day of drugs and illegal drugs. Prescription drug addiction and illegal drug addiction is opioids. There's an opioid crisis. There's a crisis actually with many drugs right now. But there is an antidote to some of the drugs called the Lazarus drug. Mm-hmm. And it's a drug that someone can take if they have overdosed, which almost brings them back to life, hence the name Lazarus drug. When Christ brought Lazarus back from the dead, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So this drug will, if you can think about it this way, will reduce the risk of taking an overdose because you know what? I can pop that pill and I'm back.
Mm.
So originally, when this Lazarus drug came out, everybody thought, this is marvelous. This is going to be fantastic. We will save so many lives. But when you look at the data across many states, not all, but many states in the U.S., it didn't decrease deaths. And the only thing some research scientists can figure out is the people that were doing it just start taking more.
Yeah.
You can see. And so it was a moral hazard. The very answer we thought would solve the problem became a moral hazard because it actually diminished the sense of, I better be careful here. Yep. This is my decision.
In some ways, yeah. It made the problem worse.
Yeah, that's
and you
right.
know, by the way, just as an example, I told this story. I talked about this drug yeah. just a few weeks ago at a school up in a northeastern state. And one of the things that they told me, the principal told me afterwards, is he said, we're required by law to keep this drug in our school. So he
wow.
said, we've got some in our first yeah. aid kit in case a kid overdoses yeah. right here. So we think this is happening out there. It definitely is, but it's happening in our schools
yeah,
too.
No doubt about it.
Well, let's talk about moral hazards and our students, because yeah. obviously these are all great examples of the ways that moral hazards show up in the adult world. Mm-hmm. But I think this is also happening in the student world, as we've sort of discussed.
Well, no doubt about it. So economist Paul Krugman describes a moral hazard. I'm going to read this now to you. He describes a moral hazard as any situation in which one person makes the decision about how much risk to take while someone else bears the cost if things go badly. So I want listeners, I want you to be thinking, are there times with my own kids, with my students, with my young athletes, with my young employees, where I just remove the consequences in the name of life is going to be easier if I do this, but I don't really prepare a better employee, student, child for tomorrow. I just think in too many cases, we adults communicate that we have far more to gain from their good performance, and they go, good, I'll play that. And they're all too happy about it.
Yeah, when a student comes to us and asks, why are you making me do this, or why do I have to do this? And we answer, because I said so.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, we're not a big fan of that answer anyways. But what it communicates to that young person is, the only reason I'm doing this is because mom or teacher or yeah. whomever says I have to, right? So it's they're the ones who are owning the responsibility here. It just communicates the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And we have so many young people who don't see their education as theirs. They see it as checking a box so they don't get in trouble,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Exactly the thing we're trying to get away from.
Well, and I think, this is just my opinion here, but I think one of the big issues is we create adults that need policies, legislations, and rules rather than I know how to behave. I know how to conduct myself because it's always an outsider that makes things right, that
yeah.
puts the guardrails up in my life. So can I give you some real quick, very
Please.
Explicit examples in case listeners are going, I don't know if I see this. So an example might be students who know if they forget their homework or their backpack or their permission slip, mom or dad will rush it in and rescue them and solve the problem.
Oh, yeah.
We see this all the time.
Every time I talk about that, I see nods from people who yep. are saying, yes, that's exactly what's
yeah.
going on.
Or secondly, students who get harmed or even die from stupid accidents because all their lives we pass safety rules instead of teaching them, here's what you got to think right now. Here's what you got to act like right now.
Critical thinking, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so when a kid is faced with a decision that's like, I could get injured doing this,
yeah.
If we haven't pre-thought of a rule mm-hmm. to keep them in a boundary,
yeah.
They haven't built up the critical thinking skills yeah. to go, I'm going to choose not to do this,
yeah.
forego whatever you know cultural power I'm going to get from impressing my friends, and instead
yeah.
choose to play it safe.
Yeah,
we haven't prepped them for that.
That's right. And here's a third one. Students who are even paralyzed emotionally from making decisions because we did it for them all their life, too afraid to let them learn and experience tough consequences. So we mean well. I really believe we mean well. But in the end, we're not thinking long term what this is going to produce at the end of the road.
So you're starting to answer my question,
yeah.
but I want to push you even further and see why do you think we do this?
Okay. Yeah.
We're trying to maybe protect them, but what's mm-hmm. the spirit of the thing? What do we think we're gaining by
yeah.
choosing to lead this way?
Well, this is just one answer, but I think it's a big one. So I just spent the night last night with about 300 parents, and we began to talk about leading our kids. And one of the answers to your question that really emerged in that meeting was this. We see our kids today living in so much stress, anxiety, panic attacks, and it's over grades or performance on the field, in the classroom. But we see so much stress, we go, well, I don't want to add to that stress.
Yeah.
So if I make them pay the price for a bad choice, I'm just adding to their stress. So this makes sense. But can I tell you how it played out? So in January of 2020, we probably all remember when we heard the news that Kobe Bryant was tragically killed in a helicopter crash. 9 people, in fact, were killed in that crash. Yeah. I was stunned. Yeah. Kobe Bryant was a hero, and what a basketball player he was. Played 20 years with the Lakers.
Yeah.
But the next day, many parents were calling this school principal and saying, are you going to have extra counselors available for our kids? And the principal kind of did a double take. Not that that was wrong, but just, wow, are you, isn't this a little overkill here?
Yeah.
And then, get this, one parent called in and said, I think this is Generation Z's 9/11.
Mm.
So just like back in 2001, we went through this tragedy of thousands of people dying from this terrorist attack. This is their 9/11. I'm going, holy moly.
Not quite the same thing.
No, it isn't. Yeah. And all due respect to
a tragedy for sure, but yeah.
But we are. This is our overreaction.
Yeah.
Where we're building fragile kids at the end of the road, fragile adults at the end of the road, because we're zooming in and thinking they can't face this stress today.
Mm.
And I think it's our tragedy that we're creating. So, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of helping them learn to solve their own problems, we act for them. We step in. We try and create safer spaces. All of those kinds of
That's
things,
right.
oftentimes leading them to not be successful.
Right.
So. I want to get towards some answers here. I know that's one of the things we like to do. And this is a hard one to answer.
It is. It's not an easy one.
But I'd like for you to take a stab at pointing us in the right direction. What do our kids need from us? What should we be doing to address this issue?
So if you're a parent, teacher, coach, employer, you just care about the next generation, let me just plant a couple of thoughts for you to marinate on. One is, before you automatically go to making up a new rule or a new policy, push pause and double-click on the idea of, is there something that can be learned without an exterior policy?
Mm.
I'm not against safety rules. I want my kids safe. But if I always have to go outside for legislation for behavior, I'm not building internally this compass or this good critical thinking you mentioned.
Yes, yeah.
So that's number one. Don't look outside before you look inside.
Yes.
And then here's what I believe a young person needs from a caring adult who leads them. Empathy and empowerment.
Mm.
So let me explain. The first response when something bad has happened, the consequences is about to be leveled.
Whether it's as small as forgetting my homework
or
as big or as a tragedy.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. So empathy simply is an emotional response that says, I feel with you.
Yeah.
I care about you. When I show empathy, I offer compassion to that young person. Empowerment is what we do after that. That's where we communicate in words or actions or both. I'm going to now offer not only compassion, but a challenge for you to rise to this occasion where you don't necessarily need extra counselors, but you can navigate this with good cognitive behavioral therapy where you're telling yourself, this is not the end of the world, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So empathy, I care and feel, empowerment, I believe you can do this.
You can rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got parents out there who need to be doing this with homework almost every day of the week, right?
It's true.
But even in the face of whatever real issues are out there, which we fully acknowledge those are real issues, first acknowledging the hurt and the pain and saying, oh man, I see that, and that is so real and legitimate. And also at the same time, we believe in you, right?
Yeah,
no doubt. We believe in what you're capable of. I love that.
So one example, actually two quick examples. One, I remember when my own two kids were growing up. They're adults now. My daughter's your age.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going through this, and I so wanted to rush in and rescue. Of course I did. That's what a caring parent wants to do. I don't love to see my child in pain. But I thought, here's what I thought to myself. I'm going to create pain when they're 31 if I don't create it. So it's pain later or pain now. And I thought let's pay now and play later rather than play now and pay later.
Yeah.
I'm going to share a story that happened right here at Growing Leaders. 7 or 8 years ago, so it was several years ago, we had a bunch of interns in for a summer. And one particular, and I loved all of them for sure. They were all great. We handpicked some very sharp college students as interns. But there was one intern that I could tell was just slacking off. He wasn't keeping up with the rest of the interns, which you would have thought was signal enough for, wow, I better up my ante here, up the game. For instance, the projects he turned in were just not up to snuff, And you could tell he was capable more,
yeah.
but it was just average. He was just having a good time eating the free food we offer here and that kind of a thing. And then I noticed he would show up at intern meetings and wasn't reading the book that we had assigned. And so kind of like a professor in a class, you didn't read it? Well,
yeah.
we're going to have a really lousy conversation
yeah.
then. So I remember thinking, I can either let this go or I can do empathy and empowerment. So
yep.
I chose the latter, and I sat down with him, and I'll never forget being feeling very much like a father in this, but I was employer. And I said, I am so sorry that you feel overwhelmed. Well, I do? Well, you must feel overwhelmed, you know, because I've noticed your projects, you're better than what you're showing me. You must have too much going on. Well, you could tell he was stunned. And I wasn't trying to play a psychological game.
Yeah.
I just was assuming the best.
Yeah.
He must have too much going on. And when he shared with me, no, I think you're giving me a good... I began to talk about how I thought he was capable of more.
Mm-hmm.
So I shifted from empathy to, you're better than this. And I know you can come through. And I said, if you hope to stay here, and I want you to, I've got to see more.
Mm.
So in a sense, I tried to call it out of him, and he responded, great. I saw the real him
yes.
come out later, and I'm so glad I did. And what's really fun is some years later, I got a nice note, you know, that said, I needed you to do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Well, I know that's the message that so many people need to hear. There are teachers out there who need to have these kinds of conversations with their students.
Yeah.
There are coaches who need to talk to their players like this.
Yep. Yep.
There are parents who need to talk to their kids like this, and lots of leaders all over the place. So thanks, Tim, so much for your advice. If you're out there and wondering, how do I start these conversations? We've got a great resource for you. It's called Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning. Mm-hmm. SEL is the big topic of today, especially in the education world. And we know one of the greatest needs that kids today have is to develop social and emotional skills that are going to help them succeed in life now and in life in the future.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to build some of those skills and start some of those conversations, Habitudes for Social Emotional Learning is a great tool that you can utilize whether you're in a classroom or anywhere else to build those skills in them. So check that out. Go into growingleaders.com, click on Habitudes, and you'll see Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning there. As always, if you would rate this podcast, give us 5 stars. That's preferential. It gets the word out about what we're doing here. We really appreciate the ratings you guys have given us. Follow us on social media. We're at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. Pretty much everywhere you are. We're not on Snapchat or TikTok.
Yeah.
Though I'd like to see you on TikTok, Tim.
Well, I could be quite the star.
Quite the star. I'm seeing millions of followers, but we'll get there eventually. Definitely connect with us on social media. We love seeing you there. And then lastly, if you have ideas for this podcast, topics you want us to talk about, or even people you want us to interview, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those and hearing from you. Tim, thanks again for leading us in this conversation. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.